Follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Here we go. Welcome in. It is Follow the Money on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Mitch Moss along with Pauly Howard. We're live in downtown Vegas. Circa Resort Casino is a spot. 3-hour banger lined up for you today. Chris Massaro on the program in studio coming up in 30 minutes. Professional sports bettor. Nick Whalen, NBA card tonight with player props. Been great going back now several weeks on this show. And Adam Hill, who covers the Raiders and a lot of these college basketball tournaments in Vegas this week for championship week, on the show a little bit later on. Heavy college hoops on the 3-hour docket today. And a lot of NFL as well, Paulie, which is where we have to start. I guess we shouldn't be surprised at how busy it's been, like this morning and early afternoon, because a lot of this stuff, I think, was kind of expected. And this is how it happens like every single year. But, you know, and I think some of the stuff is going to move the needle, whether that could be, you know, for a future bet that you're looking at. I'm not so sure about that, but maybe a win total, certainly for player props, for fantasy stuff. The example here to begin, Kenneth Walker, Super Bowl MVP, what's been the weakest link or one of them for the Chiefs now going back a couple of years? Well, certainly the running game has been one of the weakest links on that team. And they go out and get a guy who the metrics don't lie. He had very good numbers overall this year when you look at, you know, beyond the back of the football card numbers, so to speak, the mainstream stuff.
Yeah.
And he was the best player on offense for that team and leading the Seahawks to the Super Bowl. And that's a pretty big get here for KC, in my opinion.
Yep, no running game the last couple of years. Disappointed in Seattle. He forced 61 missed tackles and generated 10 rushes in which he gained 20 or more yards. So Mahomes was excited. Great move for the Chiefs. They also bring back Kelce. And,
Which doesn't do anything for me.
No, but it ends that speculation, though.
Mm-hmm.
Still, if he has a little bit left in the tank, fine. But it's a big get for the Chiefs, and I will see what Seattle does. And it started with a bang over the weekend with a trade that benefited and worked out for both teams, I felt. The Ravens, that window's almost going to close here. You only got a couple years left with Lamar Jackson. You get Crosby, and the Raiders get what they needed most was picks. So that's a banger. But as far as a future bet, I'm still waiting for the Murray news, because if the Vikings can get Murray, I think you should take the 50 or 60 to 1 on the Vikings.
Yeah, and I'm not – look, I mean, I've made my – stance on him felt publicly here many times on this show. In fact, when we were doing mornings going back several years, not the biggest Kyler Murray guy on the planet, far from it. But if he goes to Minnesota, I'm all about, and he's not a young quarterback anymore. He's been around the block now for several years, but a second chance for him with a, you know, a coach at Kevin O'Connell in that offense with those weapons, he's 100-1 to win the MVP. Is it outrageous that he would go there and play in 16 or 17 games and just absolutely pop in year one with Minnesota, throwing to the likes of Justin Jefferson? I mean, any time that you have a starting quarterback in the NFL that's triple digits, I'm going to listen. And so even though I'm not his biggest fan, like, that number is like, okay, he could put up some serious stats and maybe that would be a division-winning team. But you're right. I think the 60-71, I because of the personnel and the coaching staff, it's still a pretty decent number in my opinion.
Yep, moves I liked. Crosby to the Ravens.
Had to.
They couldn't get after the quarterback last year. They were near the bottom in pressure rate and sacks. Had to have it. Linderbaum to Las Vegas.
A lot of money, but
great
sure.
moves. Yeah, a lot of money. I thought, but the Ravens made a mistake a couple years ago. I don't like this. Tua was released. Atlanta's talking to him. I think he can do better than that, and
boy,
I would start
on
with
the same
Murray.
Page.
Yeah, I think that's a bad fit. I like Etienne to the Saints. I like Wandell Robinson of the Titans. Too much money, though.
That's just $78 million for Wandell Robinson.
The Colts keep Pierce. Pittman to Pittsburgh. I'd like to know what Rodgers is going to do if I'm with the Steelers organization. You're going to hold us out to hang us out to dry again, right? Love Walker to the Chiefs. And I thought the Bucs did some. Now, they lost Evans, which is huge. And he gets $60 million from the 49ers. The jokes are already out there. He's been hurt lately. He doesn't work well with the electrical substation,
of
right?
Of course.
Sure. But you lose Evans, but you get Anzalone. You bring in Gainwell. And they made some other moves, too. So that it's still they have weapons, and they re-signed Otten as well. The other one is what's going on in Dallas. Because they thought they had a deal for Crosby. They loved him. They wouldn't offer two number ones. They offered a number one, a number two, and a player.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know who that player was. Then they put the second-round tender on Aubrey. So the best weapon biggest weapon and the best kicker in NFL history is available for a second
now,
round pick and some cash.
Unless the team name is the old Oakland Raiders when they selected Sebastian Janikowski in the first round, is there a team in today's NFL that you think would draft a kicker in the first or the second round based on this tender?
Is he worth it? I say yes.
I lean that way. So? Yeah.
If a 65-yard field goal is no problem,
I'm telling you,
how many games can he win for?
I brought this up on the air last year before Dallas played in Denver. Remember, we wanted books to get crazy with those props, Mile High City. I would love Denver to say, screw it. Second round pick, here you go. We'll take Aubrey.
Yeah.
Can you imagine the props for him kicking there this year? How many 70-yarders will he kick?
Yep.
Ladder that bad boy up to like 2.5.
That'd be great. So they couldn't work out a deal. They think they're close. They put the tender on them. But then also, that's maybe the Ravens made a mistake. Were they better off maybe making the move to Dallas for the first, a second, and a player, if that was a good player, as opposed to the two number ones that they gave up. Excuse me, the Raiders, excuse me. But the Cowboys wanted them in the worst way, too. So they thought they had them. They missed, which I don't know what they're doing, though. You trade Parsons, then you trade for Williams, and you made other trades, and then now you're going to trade for Crosby.
That's right, and they traded today for Rashawn Gary, who it looked like the Packers were going to release. And then once that trade came out today, we did not know the compensation right away, and NFL people who I follow are like, okay, it's going to be a late pick for Gary. And then the news came out that it was a fourth-round pick, and like, wait a second, they gave up a fourth-round pick for Gary, a guy the Packers were going to cut and release anyway? We're going to get to college basketball coming up in about 10 minutes. This show is brought to you by ProfitX. And right now, you can win a free trip worth up to $10,000 during March Madness with King of March. Use code VSINMM. That code is VSINMM for March Madness. So would you, back to Aubrey for 1 second here. How many teams, like if you're close?
Yeah, if I'm an 8-7 win team.
And you've been bad on special teams?
Or I lost a lot of close games, yeah. He's the ultimate weapon.
Boy, the Rams, they don't care about their picks.
No.
The special teams got him last year.
Well, thicker kicker was good, though.
No, I know, but I mean, Aubrey's going to be an upgrade from anybody in the league.
Yeah, absolutely.
That'd be intriguing to me.
I thought the Eagles were going to keep Phillips. That's a big blow. Yeah, yep. Phillips goes to Carolina. Mariota stays in Washington on a one-year deal. Dobbins stays put. Kolar went to the Chargers. And likely to the Giants. They also got Edmonds, too. So Harbaugh's making moves.
That's nice. Yeah. How do you not like the likely move?
Yeah, it's a great. Yeah, they right. Bellinger went to Tennessee as well, so that's a good move for Dart and the Giants.
That offense, by the way, Paulie, is going to be Dart at quarterback, Scadaboo at running back, Neighbors back at wide receiver, Theo Johnson and Isaiah Likely at tight end. I know they lost Wandell today, like you said, but that's a pretty good starting point.
He got $80 million.
Who's that?
Did you say that Robinson? I don't know how much it was.
I saw 4 years, $78 million.
Oh man, and I thought the Raiders gave up too much for Naylor. That's too much money, too.
Ah, it's a lot of money.
And, yes. And then Willis didn't get as much as I thought. He got $60 million. 40 of it's guaranteed, though, as he goes to Miami.
I wonder if that's because Miami has to pay now all that dead money. It's $99 million, and they owe Tua like $50-plus million this year for cutting him today.
They have the same odds as the Jets. Both like 250 to 1 to win the Super Bowl. That's how bad it is in Miami.
And I hope I'm wrong on this. Excuse me. I don't like the landing spot at all for Malik Willis.
Yeah,
I don't like the fact that the new coaching staff that they have down there with the offensive coordinator and the passing game coordinator, who was the old now OC with Philadelphia, it's a bad recipe.
Yeah,
and I thought that there were maybe some other landing spots that would have worked out. It's a very small sample size, but what Willis has done with his career to come in when Love was hurt, now that's, again, he's going to go for Matt LaFleur, who that guy deserves a lot of credit as well, because Willis was almost out of the league when he was at Tennessee. They had no idea how to use the guy. That flipped in Green Bay, but a small sample size. I hope I'm wrong on this because I like him. I just think Miami is a bad spot for him with who he's going to be working with down there now in the coaches and the lack of talent overall.
Is Tua still an okay fit because everything that Atlanta does could be shorter at the line of scrimmage?
I would rather play Michael Penix.
Yeah, I think I would too.
Because you drafted him 8th overall. You need to see what you have in the guy.
Okay.
Overall, by the way, going back to that Friday night trade that was made.
You'd rather have Tua or Cousins?
Oh, no, I need to think about that one for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you see what the Ravens were like in prediction markets to get him?
I did not know.
They were not high, they were not like one of the highest teams
on
the list.
Yeah, it was the Bears.
Yeah.
Thought it was going to be the Bears. And good for the Ravens, though. It's a great move. Big fit. Good fit. Yeah. Had to have it. Could not get after the quarterback last year. So that's big. The other question is, should he give that much money to a guy who's 30 years old? But that remains to be seen, and that's a fair question, too. But based on the fact that you were near the bottom in all those key pass rush categories, pass rush win rate and pressure rate and sacks, and again, you don't have much left with Lamar here. You're running out of time.
Well, Warren Sharp had a great tweet on this, because the Raiders have been so bad the entire time that Max Crosby's been in the league, that the Raiders were rarely, if ever, playing with a lead late, and so he was still able to generate, you know, pressures and get a lot of sacks for a team that did not have the lead much late in games. And now Baltimore is a team that will have the lead a lot late, meaning the opposing team is going to be passing more in the third and the fourth quarter. That probably means he's actually going to be a little bit better than what he was. And he also did not have a lot of help on defense. So you knew that the opposing team had a game plan for him pretty much every single week. And I think you're right, Paul. I think with what you said there, the window is getting shorter and shorter by the minute with this team. Going for it like this and going out and, you know, giving up two first-round picks, saying, okay, it's Super Bowl or bust, basically, in the next couple of years. So I love the fact that they're actually going for it.
Mm-hmm. It is. Yep. That's all you have to look at, as far as I'm concerned. Mm-hmm.
All right, follow the money. We're live in Vegas. Circa Resort and Casino is your spot. We're going to get into college basketball coming up next. Paulie has a very interesting tidbit in the American Conference. He'll share those details coming up next.
Hey, let me get your attention real quick, podcast listeners. It's March, which means the madness is officially upon us, and the folks at VSiN have gone crazy with this one. For $29.99, you get unlimited access to VSiN Pro through May 1st. I'm talking picks throughout the tournament, public betting data for every single game, sharp tools, projections, articles, and more. There's already a ton up on the site for Championship Week, which means every day you wait is an opportunity missed. Just click the link in the description to get started. It's March, baby. Now back to the show.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Welcome back. Follow the Money is brought to you by ProfitX. And right now, you can win flights and hotels anywhere you want, up to $10,000. With their King of March contest, sign up with the code VSiNMM. Again, VSiNMM. Professional sports bettor Chris Massaro joins us now in studio. He is part of the Circa College Basketball Contests over the weekends now here on VSiN. And friend of the show and network as well. Hey, buddy, how was your weekend?
If you could just show a picture of a roller coaster, like one of the crazy ones that where your legs are dangling and it's like going upside down, that's kind of how it went.
All right, so you've been doing this for a long, long time. The roller coaster is a thing that happens a lot. How would you compare this weekend to like previous roller coasters you've been on?
Usually the roller coaster goes, you know, either one way or the other way, but this was really a roller coaster. Like, it's usually like you're up there and then you just come one time down, or you're down and you go up. This one was up, down, up, down, up, down. It never ended. I'm actually just glad the weekend's over, to be honest with you. I mean, I just, from Friday morning, I walked downstairs before I had anything to eat or drink or anything. I'm like, I'm going to play some blackjack. So I sat down, you know, it was the usual business. You lose.
Like to go mano a mano?
I like to play by myself. Yeah, I like to play by myself. Just because, you know, people do dumb things.
Sure.
You don't want to be disrespectful, but, sometimes you kind of be like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
So I was playing, and I was losing, but I wasn't getting great hands, and she was getting a lot of, she got like 3 blackjacks, I got none. She got 20 a bunch of times, but I just kept playing. So I ended up hitting 11 or 12 hands in a row. And I press, so, you know, for novice people who don't know, I've sat with people who've won 10 hands in a row and they just bet $50 the whole time and they walked out with 500 and they were happy. And I'm like, okay. But I press, I usually do sometimes a 50% system, sometimes 33%. It's harder to keep going 50% when you win that many in a row. But I hit 11 in a row, and on the seventh and eighth hand, I hit blackjack both hands. So it was a pretty epic run. My last hand, I ended up losing 6,300. So that was the last hand of the sequence. But if you can imagine how many times in between plus the blackjacks. It was, you know, it was a sizable win. So then we have Friday night. I have Seton Hall. They are plus +5, and I have under 137. So they're down to St. John's. They make a furious comeback. They cut it to 5. The guy's on the line for 2 free throws to cover the game. He misses both, and they foul with 0.9 seconds left.
No.
And St. John's hits both. So I not only lose the Seton Hall, but I pushed the under, which was the under was insane. They scored like 19 points in the last, like, you know, the foul game situation. So that happens. Then we have the contest plays. I get up, and me, Humans, and Tim Murray always talk about the 9 a.m. games. There's nothing worse. I got Boston College, an absolute dead under. They called 50 fouls in a meaningless Boston College-Notre Dame game with 800 people at Connie Forum in Boston. The game was going under by so much, they ended up fouling, I want to say like 19 foul shots in like the last minute. So that game goes over. I had Miami in the contest. They shot it in their own basket by accident. Tipped it in. The guy had a heave at the end. For a 3 that rimmed out, yeah. I was getting 1.5. They lost by 3. So the guy tipped it in his own basket. That killed me. The Missouri game, I woke up. The whole world was on Missouri, so you knew that was going to be a loser.
Yep.
You know, 8 cuffs out. But still, Missouri had the lead. It goes into overtime late, and, you know, that game loses. So then we go to Matt Humans was nice enough to get me on the list to go to Derek's little VIP party for the fights Saturday night. So I had a tip. It's not like a nefarious tip, like some of the stuff that's going on in the UFC, but
I ask you about that in a second.
We can talk about that. But I had a friend of mine who knew that Cody Garbrandt potentially wasn't really going to be up for the fight. And sure enough, he was not up for the fight. And I bet this thing pretty strong when I got to town on Thursday. I bet it at a bunch of different places. So I had about 9,000 to make 6,000 on Long Zhao, XIAO. After 2 rounds, total domination, he's minus 1,000 going to the 3rd round.
Oh, no.
So I put a little bit of a hedge because I know the sport's crazy. So I bet, yes. I bet 467. It was in my Caesars account at plus 550 on Garbrandt. Sure enough, in the first 30 seconds of the 3rd round, the Chinese guy kicks Garbrandt below the belt. Not once, not twice, but 3 times.
No.
He got 2 points taken away.
No.
I've talked to many people who've been involved in UFC for a long time. They've never seen 2 points deducted in 1 round. The Chinese guy still won all 3 rounds. So I'm thinking 30-27 minus 2, 28-27. Unanimous decision. They gave it to Garbrandt. So I went from hitting, you know, that's a $15,000 swing there. So I'm kind of on tilt, as you can imagine. So me and Humans are watching the BYU game, and everyone's texting me because that's my last play in the contest. I'm 1-3. They're like, BYU can't hit a shot. So I look at the stats at halftime, and I said, regression to the mean's coming. Texas Tech had hit 12 three-pointers. They were like 60% from 3. So I put in I put it on X. I put in like a $3,000 second-half bet on BYU. I had BYU live plus 5.5. I had BYU in the money line. So BYU wins. I ended up getting all the money back that I lost on the fight, so I'm back to even. So to speed this up, because I know I'm taking a long time, yesterday morning, I put out a tweet late night. I'm like, take Rutgers, take Iowa. I put in a parlay, Rutgers, Tulane, Maryland, Iowa. Iowa plus 7. Tulane was a push, but it was a sizable parlay, 700 to make 8,000. Gets knocked down to like 4,200 with the push. Iowa is down 3 with 10 seconds. They have the ball under the basket, and all Nebraska has to do is just foul. Mm-hmm. They'll have 1-1, and they'll probably miss 1 or miss 2 or whatever, make 2, have to kick it out. They're not going to get a wide-open 3. Ended up getting a wide-open 3. Goes to overtime. We all know what happens in overtime. Sure enough, getting 7 points with 1:49, the game is tied, 75-75. The following possessions, Iowa goes down, hits a 3. Nebraska goes down, hits a 3. Iowa misses a 3. Foul, 2 shots, down by 5. Iowa, air ball 3-pointer, 2 more points by Nebraska. Now it's 7. Now I'm losing my mind because it's a push. I go, hopefully they just do a cover play. Nope. Pass to no one, stolen layup, down by 9. Now there's like 12 seconds left, and Iowa just stepped out of bounds. The game ended. 9 straight points to end. The parlay lost. The bet lost. Everything lost. So it was just
it's like Winthrop.
That game was crazy too. I actually came back. I did an around the world on Orlando, first quarter, second quarter, halftime game. Got some back. But then I was texting you last night, Mitch. I sat down to this very nice couple with this very nice couple at a bar having dinner. And they're like, could you put on the tennis? We want to watch the tennis, Indian Wells. I go, sure. Who do you like? They're like, oh, we want to watch Tommy Paul. I go, sure. I go, Tommy Paul, I recognize this guy. He's playing a 19-year-old kid from Brazil. So I took the money that I hedged on Garbrandt. There was like $2,500 in the Caesars account. And I put it all on Tommy Paul. And if you saw my tweets last night, Tommy Paul looked like he was on ecstasy. His eyes were pinned. He couldn't hit the ball over the net. He had about 17 unforced errors in the first set, and he lost in straight sets. So that's how the weekend ended. Now, we're on to this week.
Did you get phone calls or texts about the fight after with Dober and Johnson?
Yeah.
I'm not going to use the F word. There was even internet conjecture about a nephew being kidnapped. Sometimes guys get hurt in camp. It was taken off the board at numerous spots. Johnson was $1.50. Dober went off -220, knocked him out.
So I didn't tell many people about my tip on Garbrandt not being ready for the fight. So I called the one guy, and he's not a well-known guy, but well-known around the UFC type of thing. He tells me he's never heard about the 2 points. He goes, he can't believe what's going on with the Dober fight. I go, what do you mean? He goes, I bet it yesterday at +120. He goes, don't bet it now. It's -220. And DraftKings just took it off the board. So I looked at Caesars, and Caesars still had it at -195. So at this point, I was just frustrated. So I threw $500 on it. He ended up winning. He knocked him out in the second round. And the crazy part about the replay is his opponent, Johnson, had his hands just like down, like just almost like punch me in the face. Like, I'm just going to take one for the team. And I was over at the Wynn yesterday and talking to one of the girls behind the desk. And she's, you know, she reiterated the same story you reiterated was that a St. Louis gang had, you know, abducted his niece. And they said, you have to lose in the second round or what? I mean, who knows? I mean, these stories are crazy.
This
UFC stuff. I mean, these guys are coming from, you know, tough backgrounds with not a lot of money. They don't make a lot of money. I mean,
have the camp angle too, which I forgot about, because a lot of times the guy won't pull out.
Yeah.
And if he gets hurt in camp, then all that takes, that spreads like wildfire. And he's
compromised. It wasn't even that he was hurt out of the camp. It was just more that what was going on in his life.
He'd been away from the sport.
In the third round, even after he got kicked a couple times below the belt, he was literally running around the cage. The guy was chasing after him. I mean, he should have got disqualified for that. He wasn't even trying to fight. He only landed 19 strikes in the entire fight. 19 out of 43. Zhao was 61 out of 109. It's kind of crazy they gave it to him.
Well, the money brought to you by ProfitX. Forget the bracket. ProfitX taking March Madness to a whole new level with King of March. Every additional 10 wins earns you another entry. Hit 1,000 in volume. You're in for 5K trip. 10,000, you're in for a 10K trip. Create your account. Use code VEASANMM. VEASANMM. Download ProfitX. Earn your shot only on ProfitX. Win 10. Hit the volume.
Win, lose up next. Chris is going to stick around, share some long shot bets that he likes in these conference tournaments here on VEASAN.
Win Some, Lose Some is sponsored by the Sharp Plays.
Were you a winner last night?
Wow, winning.
Or was it a rough one?
Well, they can't all be winners, can they?
Loser! You're a loser!
Molly Howard recaps the night in sports betting in Win Some, Lose Some.
Northern Iowa dancing for the first time in 10 years. +450 to win the Missouri Valley. Queens dancing for the first time. Atlantic Sun, +375. High Point, -$2. They get through. Friday, Citadel, +270. Saturday, Loyola Chicago, +450. Marquette, 4-1. Surprises UConn. George Mason, +250. Wisconsin, 4-1. If you stayed up late, Long Beach State, 12-1. One at Hawaii. North Dakota, 6-1. Stanford, +370. South Carolina, +250. Yesterday, Campbell, +275. BU with the buzzer, +260. Navy hadn't lost a game in 3 months, and they lose on almost a half-court shot. NBA, the Heat Friday, +230. Saturday, the Nets, +550. 40-1 in play. They were down double digits against the Pistons and somehow came back to win. Detroit couldn't score. Magic, +220. UFC, Oliveira by decision, 10-1. Ngozihe, 10-1 decision. Johnson by decision, different Johnson, 6-1. Montez to win in the second round, 7-1. Batia, 60-1. Bad beat if you had Burger, 80-1. Subscribe, be part of the team. VSiN.com, our radio and podcast friends. You always want to see these tweets and videos at Paulie Does Vegas on Instagram. Send them in. We'll put you on. This is Mako the dog. He's up to something, right? You're being a good boy, right? You're hanging out in the kitchen. You are. He's got that look, right? What do you think, Massaro? He's taking a look. Don't move. Don't move, buddy. Huh? Hey, look at that face, huh? Good? You all right? Like, give me the towel! And off he goes.
That's mine!
We've seen him before. This is his move. He loves taking the kitchen towel, taking it and running. He goes plays with it on the couch. He knew the whole time.
Oh,
and the owner knew what he was up to as well.
He thinks he's so sneaky here,
look
too.
Look at him. Look at the face. Yeah? I'm going for it. He looks. She knows. Grabs it. Give me that. Grabs the kitchen towel. What is this? The stereotypes out of control? What are they doing to the Italians? There's a fighter who throws pizza at his opponents? Oh, my God. And it knocks him out? Look at this. He throws the pie. He's making... This is like an episode of Family Guy. Ooba-da-beppa? 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 I mean, oh, man. And he throws it out, and that's it. It's like Mr. Fuji with the salt. Yeah. Come on.
Somehow this got into my Instagram feed, and I was crying, laughing for like 10 minutes. You should have seen the likes and the shares and everything on this thing and the comments.
Oh, my God. I've seen it all.
It's
now.
The dumbest thing I've ever seen, but my God, I can't stop laughing.
Of course, yeah. Of course it's going to knock them over.
Oh, yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Ridiculous. Bad for the books. Multiple places took it off the board. Dober plus 130 to minus 220. How about the Summit League? The entire tournament went under. All eight games went under. It's 21-3 the last 3 years. It started 7-0 and concluded last night in the title game. It goes over in the regular season in all their games. It's a high-scoring league. Then the totals are so high. Friday, 146 down to 142. 156.5 down to 151.5. 166 down to 160. 154 down to 151. All eight games went under.
Yep.
Missouri Valley title game favorites, 14-1 straight up since 2013. Fordham plus 3 to minus 1, winner. LaSalle St. Joe's over, 135.5 to 143. Liberty under, 157.5 to 152. Grand Canyon over 140, up to 146.5. Bad beats. Clippers plus 250 on Friday night. They led by 25 in the third quarter. Spurs come all the way back. Saturday, could have been worse, Chris. Richmond up 30 with 5 minutes left in the first half.
Yep.
Fifth time that's ever happened?
I think third time since like 1990.
They were up 30 and lost the game to Duquesne. I think they were catching 4 and lost by 2. At least they got the money. Iowa lost by 9 in overtime, as Chris talked about, catching 7. Berger, bad beat, and Eric Barnes, top 20, 30-1 that Jeff Seeley gave out. He finished 21st. Some guy hit a from way downtown.
Evidently,
to get us?
So I have an app that whenever the PGA is over with, it alerts me on my phone, like, okay, it's finally concluded. So I clicked on it. I wasn't watching, and I go down, and Barnes tied for 20th. I'm like, oh my God, he got it right. That's a winner out of Jeff. I tweeted it out. 3 minutes later, stat correction, because that guy sunk one from deep, and it moved him to tied for 21st overall, as high as 60-1, top 20.
He started out with 2 bogeys. And then the problem was he got all the way to 9th, but he was early. So then the wind didn't show up, and founded in 2011. The Sharp Plays just completed another dominant run, including a 2025 campaign that saw bankrolls double. 15 straight years of winning, all documented, records and logs at sharpplays.com. Sharp Plays separates, that's what separates the most from the betting industry. When the Sharp Plays moves, books take notice. Advanced AI tools, trusted insider intelligence, identifying price, value before the numbers shift, respected, watched, and feared. Start winning. Sharpplays.com. Look for the Mr. Poison tweets daily. Sharpplays.com. Can I put you on Dayton conference tournament? You don't want them?
No.
Okay.
I don't want Dayton.
No, no interest. Western Kentucky?
No. I don't bet high school basketball.
Come okay. on.
I discussed it on Friday. I have no opinion on those small conferences.
A-10?
It's just a level of play is just terrible. You can't really hang your hat on any certain thing. Like, I mean, A-10. I play, but I don't like Dayton.
What
VCU just smashed them the other night. Why is Dayton?
Dayton smashed St. Louis, and they'll probably get them in the.
St. Louis didn't look too good. George Mason. I mean, St. Louis
is
not that good a team. You know, someone said last night, send me a thing. George Mason 50-1, but it's down to 28-1 at Circa. I took some shots at some big long shots. I played TCU at 90-1 here.
Okay.
You know, they've won 8 of the last 9. 20th defensive efficiency. I took a bomb.
They have some good wins, man.
Really good wins.
Yep.
You know, and if they win, if they win their first game, which is going to be the Colorado-OK State winner, they play Kansas. They took Kansas to overtime, lost 104-100 on January 6th. So, you know, Jamie Dixon's been there before. I took Ohio State at 80-1. They've won 3 in a row. You know, they beat Purdue, Penn State, Indiana. You know, obviously, if they win the first game, they're probably going to play Iowa. Then they play Michigan. Well, you know, one of the games versus Michigan this year, at Michigan, they were leading 48-47 with 10 minutes to go. So they're full strength now. They got Mobley back and Royals back. And Bruce Thornton's been awesome all year. Mm-hmm. Very veteran-laden team. And, you know, they got them playing pretty good. I took a shot at Miami, 25-1 yesterday. I saw Circa moved it to 17-1. You know, they have the double bye, and they would have to beat Duke, obviously, in the championship game. They'd have to beat some other tough teams, too. They'd have to go against Virginia. But they'd obviously have to beat Duke, which is a tall order. But a weird thing this year is Miami hasn't played Duke. You know, they have these big, huge schedules now in the Super Conference. And the Miami coach is the ex-defensive guru for Miami, John Lucas. So that'd be an interesting battle. If they could get there, obviously at 25-1, you'd have a nice hedge angle. Well, what else did I?
Seton Hall in the Big East.
Oh, I did. Yeah, Seton Hall, 14-1. You know, they'd have to play St. John's in the semis. You know, if they got by Creighton on their first round matchup, but hey, they just played St. John's. They played them really tight. It was a 3-point game. You know, with like under a minute to play, they lost 65-60 the time before when they played at MSG. So I think, you know, a team they're very familiar with, top 15 defense, number 1 in blocks, number 3 in steals, a Seton Hall team that can hang the head on defense, worth a shot at 14-1. I mean, obviously, you play these things, hope to get, you know, a win or two, and then you can start hedging. That's just always my angle. I just feel like the value was there on some of these numbers.
You should take UNLV then.
I think Colorado State's playing better than all. Yeah. I saw JVT on the walk in. He likes them at 25-1. You know, they've won 8 of 9. They've beaten everyone they would have to beat except Utah State, which they'd have to face in the championship game. Right. Utah State's been licking oil too.
Yes.
You know, they've already beaten New Mexico. They've beaten San Diego State. For a weird stat, they lost both times to Boise, but I don't think they're going to end up facing Boise. So I don't know. Colorado State's been playing better. They've improved throughout the year. You look for teams that are improving. Like Mitch asked me who I like tonight. I don't really like any of the games tonight, but like tomorrow, you know, Maryland's going up against Oregon. Oregon was just in the Midwest, had to fly home, a lot of energy against Washington. They blew a big lead. Biddle's on his way out. He's a senior. I feel like Dana Altman's kind of like, you know, I think he might be all done there.
Yeah.
And I feel like, you know, at Maryland, they had a great effort yesterday against Illinois. They're catching 3.5. They're building towards something for next year. And I like Maryland tomorrow getting 3.5. And another game I liked is the over in BYU, K-State. K-State 7th in tempo. BYU plays fast. The last 4 games, BYU's given up 85.5 points a game. And Kansas State has given up 100 twice in the last 6 games. They've given up 84 more, 6 of the last 12. So I think it's going to be a high-scoring game. Plus, you got to remember, these tournament games, these teams need to stay in. Mm-hmm. You know, there'll be all the fouling and the nonsense that pushes a lot of these games over.
What's that number?
166.5 at DraftKings.
All right, buddy. Follow Chris on X. He's at Real Gage. That was awesome. Thanks for popping in today, man. And good luck tonight and this week and over the weekend in the contest as well.
It's going to be fun. A lot of games kicking off tomorrow. The big conference. Excited about it all.
We'll get into those coming up next. Always shop around. There are some big differences from book to book. I'll detail that next here on VSiN. Follow the Money is brought to you by ProfitX, and right now you could be winning a $5,000 or $10,000 trip during March Madness. Check out King of March and use the code VSINMM. We head out now to the Progressive Guest Line. Adam Hill is the busiest human being in Las Vegas year-round, specifically this time of year. He covers the Raiders and college basketball tournaments out here this time of year for the Las Vegas Review-Journal on the Progressive Guest Line Adam, a lot to get into here with you. Let's go back to Friday night and tie it into today. My God, it won't stop for the Raiders. Trading out Max Crosby on Friday night, two first-round picks. Today, the list, signing Tyler Linderbaum, Quay Walker, N'Kobe Dean, Jalen Naylor, Quiddy Pay, Eric Stokes, Malcolm Kutz, and they traded for Teron Johnson as well. Overall, a grade on the Raiders' offseason so far.
Wow. I mean, I think overall, when you take everything into consideration, I think they're sitting at like an A, almost A plus. I mean, I think they've done everything they could. That starts with making sure they lost enough games to get the number one pick, obviously. trading away Max Crosby, who I don't think, you know, if you look at his where he's been, he won't take a playoff. I mean, the wear and tear on the body is crazy. 8 surgeries in 7 seasons. I don't think it's going to get any better. And this is not a team that's going to compete this year. Everything they do should be about 2027 and 2028. At that point, you're looking at like a 32-year-old Max Crosby. How much would he help you at that point? Probably not that much. You would think that, you know, the two first-round picks are going to help a lot more on the timeline that you're on. The fact that they were able to get two first-round picks for a disgruntled player who clearly didn't want to be here, they were able to keep everything quiet enough with that, you know, discord that they, you know, still were able to get two first-round picks. I mean, that's impressive. I think they're just doing things differently. And, you know, part of that is just John Spytek, who I thought was the right hire at general manager. He had to endure being paired with Pete Carroll last season. And, you know, that just didn't go well. They were on different timelines. And I thought a lot of what they did was geared toward what Pete Carroll wanted to do and try to win, as opposed to John Spytek, who wanted to build for the future. And now he's finally getting to do that. And I think you're seeing the results of that.
Okay. And the previous regime had a ton of issues. Your level of confidence that this regime nails the picks?
I have a lot of faith in John Spytek, as I was just saying, the general manager. I do think there's still some organizational issues, you know, in terms of some of the people that are in the front office and obviously what exactly is Tom Brady's role, who is making some decisions and has a lot of influence, but isn't here. So then he's got, you know, his eyes and ears in the building who are relaying information to him. Like, I don't think that's ideal. But I think John Spytek has been kind of handed the reins here. And as long as he's in charge and can do what he wants to do, I think they're going to be fine. I think you're seeing the results of that. If some of those guys step in and, you know, try to, you know, exercise influence, and obviously there's some new investors that have come in as well that are some, you know, very big money people that have stake now. As long as everybody stays out of John Spytek's way, I think they're going to be fine. And Kubiak was a good hire. We don't know exactly what he is as a head coach yet, but you know he's got a really good offense. So I think they're doing a lot of things right. They just need to stay out of the way of the people that make the football decisions.
What if that Godfather offer happens to come in for the number one pick? What would you do?
I mean, I'd trade it. I don't think there's any question I would trade it. A couple of things. One, like I'm not completely sold on Fernando Mendoza, first of all. But in order to get that Godfather offer, somebody would have to be.
Yep.
And I just don't know if anybody else is either. I mean, I think you've heard it quiet because, you know, the Jets came out and said, well, you know, we're not even going to try because the Raiders kind of shut us down already. I just don't know if anybody is really that interested in him that they're going to, you know, try to blow the Raiders away. If they did, I think they'd have to listen. And I kind of think they would because I think they're responsible and smart about things. I mean, I was kind of envisioning a scenario the other day. Could you imagine if they were able to get three first-round picks the next 2 years? A couple teams have two. In the next couple of drafts, if they got three first-round picks, you know, they could potentially be looking at like seven, six, but six first-round picks the next 2 years, and next year having three or four of them when it could be a very historic quarterback class, including Arch Manning, I would have to think about that. I definitely would.
No, same here. Both of us do the same exact thing. So I don't want to get nuts and say playoffs or certainly division because it's loaded. But I am looking right now at the screen. Their win total is 5.5. Can they get to 6 wins next year?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think a lot of what they're doing right now, like a lot of will be determined by Mendoza, but they've already come out and said like they don't really want to start Mendoza right away. They don't really believe. I know Tom Brady has said that. John Spytek has said it. And even Kubiak kind of hinted at it when I talked to him in Indianapolis that they prefer somebody else starting at quarterback and letting Mendoza sit. Now, who is that? Is it Aiden O'Connell? I don't know that I'm that excited, but he's competent at quarterback. I think if they bring in another veteran somewhere along the way, maybe you're looking at that. But, I mean, they're putting a lot of pieces in place here that I think can be successful. And, you know, if Mendoza's great and he's on the field, that's one thing. But if they have a veteran quarterback kind of managing this, I think they can be a very competitive team. I don't think they're going to win. I don't think they're going to the playoffs. But I think that they could be right in that mix to win, you know, 6-7 games for sure.
You want Jake Browning?
I would. I don't know if they do. I mean, that's somebody I'd be interested in. I mean, look, my plan was to trade the first pick and sign Malik Willis. Uh-huh. Like, that's what I would have done if uh-huh. if I was running this team. But, you know, there's a lot of pressure, I think, to take Mendoza as well. So I'd look at somebody like that. I would bring somebody like that in for sure to try to, you know, try to hold things down for a while you're waiting for Mendoza to be ready. But look, he could also come in and we could be wrong and he could blow everybody away and start day one. I think that changes the equation a little bit, but I think they're making a lot of really good decisions. They're not hitting home runs necessarily, mm-hmm. a lot of singles and doubles. And obviously the Linderbaum move was a big one. They paid a lot of money, but that's a big move. They're just doing a lot of the right things.
You can follow Adam on X. He's at Adam Hill, LVRJ. He's on the Progressive Guest Line. So you go to a lot of these different conference tournaments in the next, you know, 5-6 days out here in Las Vegas. Have you noticed a number on the board for any of these teams involved out of any of these conferences that's like, that's a nice enough number. I can see them going on a run and maybe winning it.
So I know I'm a little bit biased here, Mitch, being in Vegas, being a UNLV alum. But UNLV is one of the most fascinating teams in the country. And yes. You know, people that are here have seen this. People around the country, you may not know, you look at the record and say, oh, they're not very good. Like, they have 4 Quad 1 wins. That's crazy. that's up there with some of these teams that are, you know, going to be high seeds in the tournament. It's really impressive they've done that. They get up to the competition for sure. And they're playing their best basketball of the year right now. They've got, you know, a couple of guys in Dre Gibbs, Longhorn, and Tyron Jones who are as good as anybody in this conference. Obviously, the conference tournament is on their home floor. Like, UNLV could absolutely go on a run. Also, they have swept Utah State, who's at the top of the conference. They just match up really well with them. They blew them out not too long ago. So that's a team that I think, you know, not many people expect maybe around the country could make a run. But I think they're certainly capable of it.
How about in the West Coast? You get a couple of games tonight. A big one with St. Mary's taking on Santa Clara. Can either one of those teams knock off Gonzaga, you think?
Yeah, Santa Clara would be the only one that I would, you know, take a shot. I mean, like, St. Mary's for sure. St. Mary's is up there. But, sorry, I'm making sure. Sorry, phone's ringing. I'm making sure it's not an agent. figure there's like another 9th and 10th signing of the day coming for the Raiders. I think Santa Clara is the kind of team that could challenge one or the other. The problem is trying to win 2 games in 2 days against, you know, beating St. Mary's and then beating Gonzaga. That's a team that I think is really, really quality. I think they could absolutely give St. Mary's a run for their money. St. Mary's could certainly do that to Gonzaga too. Gonzaga's loaded. But I'm so scared of both those teams that I just don't think you can find one of the longer shots on, you know, obviously, Santa Clara would be the only one to even think about. I just don't know that they could win 2 games in 2 days against those teams.
Yeah. If I made the top 4 teams that we think are going to get 1 seeds at this point, Duke, Michigan, Arizona, and Florida, -$2 versus the field, and the take back, I'll give you +175 on the field. What would you do with that?
I hate answering this question because ordinarily I would say it's so easy to take the field, but those teams are so good.
Yep.
Like I almost have to do it. I would love to try to find a way to not do it, but I just think, I mean, I was just talking to somebody yesterday and like, this isn't going to happen because we're not this lucky, but could you imagine if those 4 were the final 4? Like it would be the greatest Final Four we've ever experienced.
Well, I mean, it'd be, last year. I mean, with the how it played out last year overall.
Yeah, I mean, it was good. I would love to see that. Obviously, you know, I mentioned being biased as a UNLV guy. I'm from Ann Arbor, so I'd love to see Michigan. I think they're really good. Mm-hmm. But I want those teams to make it through because I would just love to see those 4 teams match up. And what I watched Michigan do here in Las Vegas and that Players Era Festival at the beginning of the season, I've never seen a team just run through good competition like they did. That was one of the most impressive, you know, multiple-day performances I've ever seen.
Yeah, beating everybody by 30, 40 points. The yes. Games were over with 10 minutes in.
They made it not fun.
Yeah.
Like, that was supposed to be the best tournament we've ever seen in the season. It wasn't fun because of Michigan being so good.
Yeah. No, that, yeah, and it feels like that's 10 years ago, but it really was only like 3 months, so... again, yeah. Follow Adam on X. He's at Adam Hill, LVRJ. Thanks for the time, man. Enjoy all these tournaments.
Sounds good. I'm sure the Raiders are going to sign 4 more people by the time your show's over.
Probably true. Yes.
Yeah.
Join us on the Progressive Guest Line. He covers all the sports for the Review Journal out here in town.
Gave him a good grade. It shouldn't be a problem. You got to pick up the phone and listen. It shouldn't be a problem to find one team that falls in love with Mendoza. And if you get that crazy offer, it's a game changer.
Yep. In-pocket plays coming up and more numbers to suggest why the big tournament could be very chalky again this year.